This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you in part by Central College, Cargill Corn Milling in Eddyville, Dowie Pest Control, Country Acres Landscaping, and Two Rivers Cooperative. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you'd like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Goulet Heating and Cooling, Hyatt Painting, Marion County Public Health Department, Don's Heating and Cooling, and Hewitt Service Center. Enjoy the program.
Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's it like to lead troops? What makes a good commander? And how is the most recent generation of our soldiers doing? In the first part of a special 10-part in-depth series on our men and women who have served in our military, let's go in-depth with Colonel Scott Visser with the Iowa Army National Guard from Pella. So, Scott, you're currently in the Guard, right?
Yep, the Iowa National Guard.
And how long have you been in?
Well, I've been in total now 27 years. I was active duty for 8 years, and I've been in the Guard since 1993, so going on 20 years.
That's pretty amazing. That's a long time.
I love it, though. So I'll stay in as long as I keep loving it, enjoying what I'm doing.
Well, where have you served?
On active duty, I served in the 101st as a platoon leader and an executive officer, and in the 10th Mountain Division as a company commander and a staff officer. And then in the Guard, it was actually kind of odd because I got off active duty and never intended to come into the Guard. I was getting off out of the military, and I came back to hometown Pella, Iowa to help run the printing business. And had a friend talk to me and had me go up and talk to General Schultz. And he asked what I wanted to do, and I told him I love to lead soldiers. And he said, how would you like to command the Lurch Detachment? And I was back jumping out of airplanes again and having all kinds of fun, and just absolutely loved it. So I came back into the Guard, commanded the 194th Lurch Detachment, long-range surveillance detachment, airborne here, and then everything just kind of flowed from there. Was able to go over to the 168 Infantry in Council Bluffs, got the opportunity to command that unit, the 168, and take them to Afghanistan as the first major deployment to Afghanistan out of Iowa. And then came back from that, took command of a training site at Camp Dodge, left there and commanded the 67th Troop Command out of Iowa City, which has most of the units in southeast Iowa in it, the Engineer Battalion, the Medical Battalion, the Aviation Battalion, were all under my command there. So now I'm the MDA G3 up at the state of Iowa. So,
what does that mean?
That's training, the chief training officer for the state of, in charge of training for the state of Iowa.
You're in charge of training for the entire state of Iowa?
Well, yeah, on the MDAE side. So, we actually have a full time G3 director of operations. I am the MDAE or part time G3. Because I'm an M-Day soldier, not a full-time soldier. And the full-time G3 on the M-Day side, it's kind of hard to understand, but he commands the brigade right now.
Okay.
So that's his part-time part, and I take over for him on the M-Day side. It's complicated in that sense. But yeah, I work with, all the training and operations throughout the state of Iowa right now.
When you say you lead personnel or command personnel, how many are we talking about?
Well, when we went to Afghanistan, we took a little over 700 to there. So my battalion size was about 700. Company, when I commanded the Lurch Detachment, it was about 100. When I commanded 67th Troop Command, it was about 2,000.
So anywhere from 100 to 2,000?
Depending on, you know, where you are in the command. You know, command or the military works off of, you know, command. So you got companies, you got battalions, you got brigade or major subordinate commands, which troop command is, then divisions, corps, armies. So as a captain, you usually command a company. Lieutenant colonel commands a battalion. Full bird colonel commands a troop command or a brigade. General obviously commands a division.
And what's your rank?
Right now, colonel.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you by Morris Roofing, Marion County Auto Body, DeVore Homes, Darnell Towing Service, and Iowa Realty. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss In-Depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at KNIAKRLS.com in the radio audio media player, and catch up on In-Depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Hearthstone, Van Haften Racing and Otley, Midtown Tire, Pella Printing, and Jeremy Dingaman Concrete.
I continued my conversation about command with Colonel Scott Visser with the Iowa Army National Guard. Okay, what does the word command mean to you?
Command is you are overall responsible for everything that happens in that unit. You lead. You have to delegate. You are responsible for the welfare of soldiers and their families. Now, obviously, you can't know everything that's going on with, you know, 2,000 soldiers. So that's why you have subordinate commanders under you who take care of that. But, you know, as a commander, you are responsible for what happens in that unit, the training, the support, everything that goes on in that unit. And you have to build that trust and confidence in your soldiers that you are going to do what's right for them and take care of them.
How do you know how to be a good commander?
You can tell it through your soldiers. Because if soldiers respect you, you know, as a commander, you have authority over soldiers. You can tell them what to do. But it's as in any organization. If they don't have respect for you, they may do it, but they're not going to do it in a way that they're not going to do it in a way that's going to succeed to the best. I don't know if that makes sense, but they may have to do it, but they don't want to do it necessarily if they don't have that respect for you. So it's about earning the respect of soldiers as a commander, and then by their actions you can tell if you have a good unit. If a unit fails, generally you can pull that back to the commander and the vision and the tone that they set in that unit most of the time. You know, you train soldiers. You make sure that they understand what they need to do. And then if they do what's right, it makes you feel it makes you feel good. It makes you feel like you have done what you need to do. I remember in Afghanistan. This is an example of this. We were in Afghanistan probably 2 weeks. And our mission in Afghanistan was security of provisional reconstruction teams throughout the country. So I had soldiers spread from one end of Afghanistan to the other. And we were in our headquarters. And, you know, you always wonder about the 3 o'clock phone call. We always hear about the 3 o'clock phone call. What are you doing at the 3 o'clock phone call? Well, we got the 3 o'clock phone call. Two weeks after we were there, we had soldiers out. They were at a patrol base overnight and got it hit by overwhelming force. And I'm back at, you know, 200 miles away from them. Now, we can do some stuff. You know, we called for support. We got aircraft there. We got as much support as we could get there. But you want to know a feeling, because there's really nothing you personally can do right now. They're on the ground, and you just pray and hope that you have trained them well enough to get out of this situation and to do what they need to do to get out of this situation. And they did. You know, they were able to defeat the enemy force that was attacking them at that point. But as you sit there, back 200 miles away, going, you know, all those thoughts run through your mind. You know, did I train them well enough? Did I have the proper personnel there? Do they know the fundamentals on what to do? What am I going to tell their families? What am I going to do this? All those thoughts start going through your mind. And, you know, over and over again in Afghanistan, we could see that, where things like this happened. And every single time, the soldiers did what they were supposed to do and came out of it mostly unscathed. So that, to me, is when you can tell that you did what was right as a commander, when those things happen. Not did you, you know, meet all of the benchmarks, you know, for your budget and recruiting and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I mean, recruiting, obviously, you know, is a, you know, indicator. All those are indicators of things that are going right or wrong. But, you know, when the stuff hits the fan, did they do what they needed to do? And did they come home? And that's the best indicator.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you in part by Steenhook Appraisals, Dutch Meadows, Culver's and Pella, Vandenbroek Concrete, and Janssen's Decorating and Kitchens. Join us for In-Depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you'd like to suggest a topic for In-Depth, send an email to bobleonard@kniakrls.com. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Marion County Rural Water, Winfield Funeral Home, Back in the Day Lounge in Pleasantville, the Knoxville Recreation Center, The Next Chapter, and South Central Iowa Solid Waste Agency. Enjoy the program.
I continued my conversation about command with Colonel Scott Visser with the Iowa Army National Guard. How does it feel to have that responsibility?
Well, you have to want to command. I mean, it's, yeah, you know, at that moment, you know, did my gut hurt? Yes. Was I scared? Yes. But that is what, I mean, a commander, you have to want to be a commander. You have to want to be put into situations where you know that you can make the situation better.
Well, and there are thoughtful people that want command.
Yeah.
But I suspect we both know people that want command that aren't very thoughtful.
Yeah.
And maybe aren't going to be very good at it. What's the important distinction there between those people that are fit for command and those that aren't, even though they both might want it?
You can usually tell from people who has the respect of superiors and subordinates. So you can usually look at it and say, hey, look at somebody who has, you have seen grow from whatever rank up through the ranks up to where he could be, he or she could potentially be in a command position. And you have a pretty good idea on how they treat soldiers, how they lead, what their thought processes are. I mean, do they have the knowledge to do it? So it's not an exact science. Obviously, we get bad commanders. You know, sometimes not the best person gets picked for it to be a commander. But it's something that we just, it's more of a gut type feeling. There isn't any real statistical numbers that tell you this guy's going to be a great commander. You know, sometimes the ones who sometimes have the best statistical numbers aren't the best commanders. They got to care for soldiers. If they care more, if you're worried about, I want to be a commander because I want to be a commander, or do I want to be a commander because I care about soldiers and I can help soldiers become better soldiers? You know, am I punching a ticket by being a commander, or am I there because I love soldiers? And I think that's the difference, best I can describe it.
Do you think that commanders are born, or can you make somebody a commander? What's the balance? I know there's lots of stuff you have to learn.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, as in society, I mean, you can see it down here at the high school. There are kids down there that are leaders, and then there are kids that aren't. So, I mean, I can walk down to the football team or the track team or cross country team or wherever, and you can see who the leaders are and which ones aren't. Now, does that mean that somebody can't become a leader? Yes, they can. You know, but there are people who naturally strive to become, to take charge of situations, and then some that want to be led. But just because in high school you were that situation doesn't necessarily, I mean, leadership takes work and takes practice and takes learning and knowledge to become a good leader. You know, I look at myself as a leader as a lieutenant way back when, and you know, you always go, man, I wish I could have gone back and done this over again and this over again, because boy, that was stupid what I did, you know, and everybody has that. So obviously leadership grows as you progress. I mean, you can't command a division as a captain, even though you might think you can. I remember when I was a captain, I thought I could do a lot better job than that division commander up there, you know. But there's no way you can do it. You don't understand. You don't have the knowledge to understand the big picture stuff. So, and can every company commander become a division commander? No. I mean, sometimes a commander understands that low level stuff very well, but when it starts to become to the strategic thinking and the big picture, it just blows their mind. So they can't. So yes, you do grow into leadership as you go up, and leadership at different levels is different. It's not all the same. I mean, there are basic principles that are the same, but it's not all the same. You know, you have to have a knowledge of, from a tactical standpoint, to a strategic standpoint. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, and different training and different abilities emerge at each level.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing in a company, you know. The cost center manager down at Pellicorp probably can't handle what the CEO does, you know. Now, could the cost center manager someday work his way up through the ranks and become the CEO? Yes. But it's where you are in your progression as a leader. And some succeed going up and some get to a point and that's as far as they can go. Now, there's a lot of good people at lower levels, too, that probably could go higher that don't actually get. As a troop command commander, I had a whole bunch of captains, majors, lieutenant colonels. You know, not all of them are going to get to become a troop command commander. It's just impossible. And there's a lot, I mean, there's a lot of timing involved in things. I mean, there was probably a lot of people better than I to be the troop command commander. But timing worked out for me, and I was in the right positions and did what I needed to do and earned, I hope, the respect of the subordinates and superiors to where, when the time came, I was able to get there. Could there have been somebody else? Yeah. That's the way life is. I mean, in any job, not just military, not just service, I mean, in any job. Not everyone's going to become the CEO of Pellicorp.
More in depth after this.
This special edition in-depth program on the men and women who serve our country in the military is brought to you in part by Prudential First of Pella and Knoxville Realty, Stan and Pat with Stan Drywall and Pella, the Verduff Agency, and Garden Chapel Funeral Home. Join us for in-depth every weekday as Dr. Bob Leonard goes in-depth on the local topics that you care about, following our hour-long news magazines at 8 a.m., 1 p.m., and 6 p.m. If you miss in-depth, you can hear this week's programs in their entirety at kniakrls.com in the radio audio media player and catch up on in-depth programs that you may have missed. Once again, thanks to our sponsors, Pella Corporation, Two Rivers Cooperative, Digital Galleria, and Pella Regional Health Center.
I continued my conversation about command with Colonel Scott Visser with the Iowa Army National Guard.
Is there something, or a number of things I suspect, but something you want to mention about what society in general might not know or appreciate about what people like you, soldiers, do? Some stuff we don't know about or necessarily know enough to appreciate. Is there something that you'd like to touch on?
First of all, I'll tell you this, you know, the Iowa Guard soldiers, I have experienced the military from the active duty side, like I said, 101st Air Assault Division, one of the top divisions in the country, 10th Mountain Division, again, one of the top divisions in the country. I've led soldiers in both. I have worked with numerous active duty divisions throughout my military career. And one thing I would really like people to know, there are no better soldiers in the Army than in the Iowa National Guard. I have seen them in action. I have seen what they can do. And they are some of the I like to refer to them as the next greatest generation, these kids. I see kids today, you know, and you're like going, what's going on sometimes? And you hear the stories and you hear the talk about, you know, this generation and how, you know, the problems that they have. I will tell you this, the soldiers that I saw and what they were able to do both in Afghanistan and here when floods happened, and we fought the floods on the Missouri River, we fought the floods in Des Moines, the tornado in Parkersburg. I saw what they would do, and they are not only great soldiers, they are great people. I remember a story that the governor, when the winter storms a few years ago hit, and the governor was traveling around, and he was traveling around with the adjutant general. And they went down to southwest Iowa to the Shenandoah area, Red Oak area. I think they were in Red Oak. And we had the 168 guard guys were out helping people. And they walked into the talk of Bravo Company 168. And the adjutant general said, told the governor, he said, "Last time I saw this in operation like this was in Afghanistan, and it looks just the same. They're doing the same thing here, set up the same way, operating the same way, fighting the winter storm in Iowa as they were in Afghanistan, fighting the enemy forces there." And obviously they weren't fighting people, but everything, the process was all running the same way. The communications, the way things were being done, the same charts on the wall. And just interesting to see that, you know, you can take what you learn in Afghanistan and bring it back to Iowa, and when the floods hit or the storms hit or whatever, it's all ready to go. So one thing that people need to know is that Iowa Guard soldiers are the best soldiers in the Army. We've been told that, and we were told that not by just me. I mean, active duty units told them that they didn't want them to leave. They were doing such a good job. So we can be pretty proud of what we got here, I think.
Thanks to Colonel Scott Visser for contributing to the program.
For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.